Reverend, and I'm definitely an addict. And I'm nervous. This is a little bigger than St. Luke's, not the old St. Luke's. But anyway, recovery and relapse. You know, when I first came here to this little secret society, because nobody was really talking about NA, just like nobody was really talking about freebasing, I stumbled upon it, and my life desperately changed, and I got here, and my life changed. I came here first in 1989. I was young, and I was introduced to this program through the Way of the Army. I kept using, and they said that I needed to go get some help, and they was going to medevac me to VA hospital. So I was waiting for a helicopter to come pick me up and take me to VA hospital, and it was a little green van out there, and I was really disappointed because I wanted to get into a helicopter. And they, you know, took me to a VA hospital, and, I went into treatment because I kept using, and I could not stop. And like I said, I had never heard about this program. And I managed to, I got a sponsor, and they told me don't get into a relationship in treatment. And I was in a relationship in treatment, you know, and they did the encounter groups on us. And I came out, and I did some step work. You know, and, the step work was like a foreign language to me. You know, the first step I admitted I was powerless over my addiction and my life had become unmanageable. And the first sponsor that I had, she was doing the step work out of a whole nother fellowship. And I ain't understand nothing in that book. I mean, they was using words that I never seen before and, you know, this little slick language. But I wrote down everything that she had and I didn't interpret anything. And they said, you know, you don't want to use it again. You got to definitely know, identify with the first step. And I stayed clean. I managed to stay clean for 4 years. By the skin of my teeth, I came in here. You know, people were looking good, and I was starting to get back all the things that I had lost for so many years because I just couldn't, you know, get it. And I continued to get, I wanted to say back then that relationships were my problems because I kept getting into a relationship and every time I would get into one, I would use. All right. And I managed to stay clean, like I said, for 4 years. And when the relationship, I wasn't happy anymore and I couldn't do no more to control it or to make it happy. I would just disappear and go use. You know what I'm saying? And I got more sponsors because I felt like they wasn't teaching me enough or I ain't get it from them, so I would get another sponsor when I came back, right? You know, and I heard the step again. We admitted we were powerless over our addiction, and our life became unmanageable. Now, anybody know me, I'm one of the people that I'm very manageable with my bills, and I thought that's what the step meant. I said, well, the second part doesn't apply to me because I'm very manageable. You know, I'll admit that I'm powerless over my addiction, right? And, you know, whenever I came back in here and drug back in here and got the 24-hour chip, I knew that I was powerless over my addiction right at that time. But once I got on the pink cloud and I was into the relationship, was I powerless over my addiction? Because I thought addiction only means that I was smoking crack. Right, and it talks about that we will put down one and pick up another. So it never dawned on me, right, that I kept getting into these unhealthy relationships and that my emotions, I couldn't manage my emotions. And once I could not manage my emotions, I used crack as to not feel anything. That I felt like they wasn't loving me enough or they wasn't paying enough attention to me. So when I made a decision to go use, you know, if he wasn't calling, then nobody can find me. So now my phone, I'm smoking, and the phone is on the thing, and it's going, it's too damn late now. I got a new boyfriend, and it's crack, okay? I got a new boyfriend, and it's crack. You know, and this process kept going over and over. It was just a different face, the recovery and the relapse, and the recovery and the relapse. And I wanted to say every time that it had something to do with a relationship. And I remember, right, not being happy with life. I just didn't know how to be happy in life. So I remember when I smoked weed. And I said, if I could just go smoke some weed, I'll be happy again. I remember I was laughing and, you know, life was just great. And I did that. I ain't going to meet and raise my hand and tell nobody that's what I was going to go do. And that's what I did. And I swear, a week later, I was back smoking crack and doing what I needed to do, back coming to get another 24 hours. I mean, the cycle just came. I tried everything. I said, this time I'm going to drink. And I told, like, one person, you know what I'm saying? And I went down, what's that club down there, Republic Gardens, where you meet people or something, down there by 14th Street. And I went with a girlfriend from work, and she was like, girl, you got to taste this. And I said, no, I don't drink. And she handed me the glass. Right, and for a split minute, I thought about it, and I did like this, and this warm feeling, man, I was dancing all over the place, and people was buying me drinks, and before I knew it, I was back smoking crack, and when I do that, I lose my car, I leave my daughter, I don't go to work, I don't call in, I'm tricking, I'm doing all types of things that I don't even want to do. I ain't even like the person that I was in a relationship with. I was incapable of walking away. Incapable of walking away because I didn't want to feel. I was scared of the feelings that I was going to feel if I just walked away. I don't know, this last time, you know, I met some different people. And they kind of like wasn't going for nothing. One of them was, you know, was knew the literature, and he said, either you're going to suffer the pain of withdrawals or you'll use again. And I said, suffer the pain of withdrawal or I'm going to use again. Right? See, every time it was time for me to come out that relationship, I didn't want to feel nothing. And I heard you people talking about getting in the middle of the bed and ball up in the fetal knot and rock with it. I ain't know nothing about that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want to feel nothing. And I remember somebody else saying, you want to feel good all the time, don't you? And I was like, no. But actually, I do. I want to feel good all the time. And that's just not how life presents itself. You know what I'm saying? So this last time, I got into another relationship. You know what I'm saying? And it wasn't working out. One more time. I wasn't happy. One more time. And I said, you know, and I started looking at the step differently. I heard something different. You know what I'm saying? I learned at that point that addiction just didn't mean crack, that I was picking up other things in place of addiction now that I've gotten clean. And this time I understood that the second part of the first step meant that it wasn't, they weren't talking about my credit cards. You know what I'm saying? It was talking about how I'm, you know, my emotions and how I really can't deal with that. And if I could probably just master that and hold on no matter what, I will stay clean. So I went on into this relationship and we moved together and he wasn't treating me right like the other ones didn't. And I said, somebody got used this time and it ain't going to be me. And I meant that. I really did. And then, let me go back first because I got to tell you this. When I came in here, I came in 1989, the era when we was going to the Go-Go's in D.C. and all the hustlers and you eat at the pancake house and they paid for everything. Well, I was the one that always got the friend, okay? My girlfriend's got the big-time hustler. I got the friend that I really didn't like, right? So when I got in here in 1989, I still was trying to relive that era, okay? So when I got in here, you know, people coming out of transition houses, and they talking about, let's go to the movies, and we pay half, or you pay for it. I'm looking like, I ain't come from that. I'm not really understanding that. I'm an only child, so I'm used to having my own, getting what I want, and for somebody to be talking about, can we share and do this and break the bill down, or can you pay? I had no understanding, right? So at that point, my mind said, go back to the classics, fix my hair a certain way, because now I need to get a hustler. I need to get a hustler, and I wasn't going to meetings talking about that I wanted to live back in 1989 where I left off at. Because, see, I used to get dressed up to go see Chuck, but I would never make it because I was still stuck at the table. So when I woke up and came out the fog, I wanted to relive that. You know what I'm saying? I missed some stuff, right? So when I got here, they was telling me I couldn't drink anymore, and I was still young. And I really ain't had no understanding that. So, I went through all of that. So I went through a couple of rustlers. They weren't really, I never got the big-time hustler that I was looking for. And this was like I had a sign on my back, you know. And I had to go to God and ask for God to change my heart on the type of person that I want to deal with. Because I'm serious. Every time I would go out, I would find somebody that was dealing with drugs. I didn't even have to say, excuse me, I'm looking for a hospital. I mean, he would, like, just come over, but he wasn't on the magnitude that I wanted him to be on. You know what I'm saying? So one more time, I still wasn't happy. Today I know that, you know, I got to suffer the pains of withdrawals before I would use again. That's my fear. And I was sitting in the other meeting, you know, and I was listening, you know, because as you stay clean, you embark on new journeys. You know, and I've been clean this time for 8 years, right? You know, getting the cars and the jewelry and all that type of stuff was never a problem for me, right? But I was always scared of getting a house because that was a real big commitment. And I'm the type of person that I need to have all my stuff in order. I need to know what's going to light at the tunnel. I need to see the light at the tunnel before I step and make a move. I need to have all my ducks in a row. A lot of times I ain't stepping out on a whole lot of faith because I done did my homework and all that before I move. And, you know, me and my husband, we you know, stepped out there. Well, he ain't scared of nothing. He'll jump off a bridge without no parachute. He don't have no fear. I got to have a parachute on, locked and loaded before I know how far feet and calculate. That's just who I am, and I guess that'll probably never change, you know. But anyway, we jumped out there and we got the house and it's the scariest thing that I've ever done. You know, because like the gas and electric bill is like a lottery or something. You don't know what the heck it's gonna be each month. You know what I'm saying? I'm opening the envelope. I like my car note is the same amount every month. You know what I'm saying? And this stuff is new to me. So I'm, you know, looking at this stuff. So that starts to mess with my issues. You know what I'm saying? And I know, when I'm in an uncomfortable state that I got to tell people. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to be pushed in that corner that I'll go run and won't tell anybody. Like right now, we got the house in August. I work for the United States Postal Service. And they're talking about accessing people to different states. I said, y'all can access. I just bought a house. I ain't going away. I just bought a patio set. Right? And I told them that, you know, I'm going to keep reporting here every day. I don't care what y'all say. You know, and I've been going through my emotions, and I ain't been really feeling too good because this stuff is scary. I ain't trying to move to North Carolina. I don't even have no equity in the house. You know, so, you know, people told me to render prey. Turn it over, you know, and in the meantime, you know, I just, you know, I go up and down with that situation. So sometimes when I'm back in a corner, you're going to either suffer the pain of withdrawals or you will use again, and Pat talked about accepting a situation for just what it is. You can't change it. And a lot of stuff, I want to be in control. I want to be in control of the outcome. You know what I'm saying? And at the end, when it's all said and done, you know, I got to surrender. So, I didn't used enough. I done stayed clean enough. If it was not for this program and the grace of God, right, I would not be standing here today. You know, they suggest that we get a sponsor, we go to meetings, and that we pray. And a lot of times when I'm in the midst of stuff, praying be the last thing to come to my mind because I be in 20th gear. You know what I'm saying? And using is just not an option for me. I've endured death in here, lost relationships, arguments. And one of my main things is money. My security is very, very, very important to me. Right. And I think a lot of times, you know, I believe the devil try to test you with your issues. Right. That I get tested on a daily basis with my defect that I have to be secure. And I know that, you know, they talk about being obsessive with things. You know, I got to stack money here in a jar and then I'll pull it all out. Same thing I used to do in the crack house. Get a ball, bag it all up, and then I would cut the bags and pull it all out, and I got to count it. And I do the same thing like with the money. I I just noticed that. You know what I'm saying? And then I be telling my husband, if you touch my quarters, I'm telling you, I'm going to hurt you. And I know how I left my stuff, and I'll come by and be like, Melvin, did you touch my stuff? He'd be like, yeah, baby, I just got a dollar out. I mean, it ain't a big deal with it. I'm like, it is. You know, I have this thing where I love to see, I don't like to ask nobody for nothing. I'm very self-reliant. And I was so self-reliant that I couldn't ask for help in this program. When it came time for me to be able to ask somebody to help me and all of that, I didn't know how to. Because a lot of times I think that the render's getting it done. And, you know, and I heard somebody say it, and I was like, God has given you whatever you need to get it done, Dorinda. Okay? You know what I'm saying? And you got to rely on him. And if you don't have all the stuff to get it done, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Dorinda? Are you going to be able to sit still? Because there's been a lot of people around here with the economy, no jobs. And I hear them talking about how they've been out of work for 8 months and they ain't homeless and they still eating. And I'll be like, wow. And they talking about I might have to move to North Carolina or Richmond. And I'm like, that ain't the way you can catch the subway from. No, so anyway, that's enough out of me. Thanks for letting me share on recovery and relapse.